This episode of the Sport Horse Podcast is brought to you by Achieve Equine, the manufacturer of Flair Equine Nasal Strips and distributor of other equine health and performance products. So we encourage you to go to their website, achieveequine.com, to see all of their offerings. What I want to talk about today are the Flair Strips, which are drug-free, self-adhesive nasal strips that support a horse's nasal passages and promote respiratory health as well as performance for equine athletes. The strips have memory supports with a spring-like force to support the soft tissues of the nasal passage to reduce airway resistance and improve airflow. Application and removal are quick and easy with no discomfort for the horses. Flair Equine nasal strips are clinically proven to make breathing easier for all horses that work hard. The strips are proven to reduce fatigue, conserve energy, quicken recovery, and protect from exercise-induced pulmonary hemorrhage. The benefits of easier breathing are important for horses competing at all levels. For more information, visit flairstrips.com/learn and check out the links in our show notes.
Hello, and welcome to the Sport Horse Podcast. I'm Nicole Lakin.
And I'm Tim Borden. And today we are tackling a very common topic among owners and riders.
Yeah, so today is a really interesting one, talking about a topic that, interestingly enough, I feel like it's talked about a lot right now in pop culture and in human medicine, and that's about insulin resistance and obesity. So really interesting episode with our guest. And before we get into it, I just want to do a shout out to our sponsor of today's episode, Achieve Equine. They're the manufacturer of Flair Equine Nasal Strips. We're really grateful for their support and to bring you this really interesting episode. I think that beyond our conversation today, you know, Tim and I really had some thoughts on the side about the sort of mentality in different disciplines and different breeds about obesity and how it's considered in different sports. So I hope you guys all give that consideration as well as you listen to our discussion with Dr. Phillips.
So Dr. Shannon Phillips studied equine nutrition and exercise physiology for both her master's of science degree, which she got at the University of Kentucky, as well as her PhD from the University of Guelph. She's currently a professor of equine nutrition in the Department of Animal Science at North Carolina State University, where she teaches in the field of equine science and nutrition. She's the director for the Distance Education Animal Sciences Program, which includes the Master of Animal Science Program. Her field of research focuses on glucose metabolism, insulin resistance, and obesity in horses, as well as nutrient requirements of both equine and canine athletes. She has numerous peer-reviewed papers and has written several book chapters and hundreds of articles for popular press magazines. Hi, Shannon, and welcome to the Sport Horse Podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So really excited for this topic today. I think, as I've said on past episodes, nutrition is for sure not a strength. So yeah, just really excited to chat with you. And the reason we got you on is you had this really nice recent review in the journal Animals, and we'll include a link to that manuscript in the show notes. But you discuss obesity and insulin resistance in horses, and you do a really nice job of covering that topic. So to begin, can you discuss the risk factors for insulin resistance and how it presents to our listeners?
Insulin resistance is a condition where insulin as a hormone isn't doing its job of moving glucose from the bloodstream into tissue like muscle and adipose tissue. And it is a big problem because we're seeing more and more horses that develop some sort of insulin resistance. And along with that, we're also seeing increased rates of obesity. And together with insulin resistance and obesity, we see this condition, this syndrome, equine metabolic syndrome, which is a sort of big catchphrase for horses that have many of these different elements into one, which would include insulin resistance and obesity, frequent previous episodes of laminitis. Also, we're seeing things with elevated blood fats. And not just obesity too, but we're also seeing sort of pockets of regional adiposity. And then we're also seeing these horses have really high inflammatory proteins as well. And so we're seeing a large number of these horses that are unable to use glucose properly. And also insulin has other effects on the body related to muscle synthesis and fat storage. And so when horses are insulin resistant, it can really pose a problem, not just for general health, but then also for athletic work and exercise.
That's really interesting and a nice sort of segue into my next question, which is regarding, you know, the impact and prevalence of obesity and equine metabolic syndrome on performance and career longevity. I think that, you know, in some disciplines, obesity seems to be more of a growing issue than others. So maybe you want to comment on that, but can you share with us, I mean, is there a good concept or a good idea of the prevalence and how it's impacting performance in horses that have those conditions?
Right. So yeah, so insulin resistance, and then because insulin resistance is technically the inability of insulin to exert that effect, we're also seeing what we call insulin dysregulation, which is this broader term that also includes horses that have high concentrations of insulin in their blood, usually in association with insulin resistance, but not always. And so we are seeing a fairly large component of the horse population having some of these elements that I've talked about. So either insulin resistance or insulin dysregulation, as well as obesity. And we do see this in some breeds. So for example, pony breeds tend to be more likely to become overweight and also to have some levels of insulin dysregulation. We are also seeing some of the Baroque body type horses, so some Andalusians and some European breeds that have sort of this heavier bone. Some of them show quite a high prevalence of insulin resistance. And of course, some of those are very popular for dressage horses. And so we're seeing within the horse sport industry, primarily these horses that maybe already have a propensity for developing insulin resistance and obesity. And then we're also seeing horses that are actually preferentially being fed to become obese because there might be some competitive factors along that. And so what we're seeing I had a previous study that looked at sport ponies, hunter ponies at pony finals, and we were able to show that the fatter ponies got higher scores in the model. It was not a perfect study because maybe all of those horses happened to also have the best conformation, but there was definitely a relationship between how overweight a pony was and their model score. And this, we chose to do the model because obviously the moment a horse or pony is ridden, we've got the rider talent and the horse talent and all of those other things coming into play. So we really wanted to try to eliminate as many factors as possible, but we did in fact find that obesity did play a role in how animals have done. And this is not just at places like pony finals. This was also established at Wellington several years ago in primarily the sport ponies, but then also some dressage horses. And it's also something that is pretty prevalent over in Europe, in the UK. A couple years ago, there was a show cob that played really well at one of the British horse shows, and it was also quite overweight, and that kind of caused some concerns there. And so we're seeing not just our general horse population with problems with obesity, and largely that is, you know, because of improper feeding and not enough exercise, but we're seeing it in our sport horses, and people are incorrectly potentially feeding them for that look. In the hunter world too, there's also some thought that if they're fatter and heavier and perhaps more out of shape, then there'll be that quieter hunter look that's making its way around the course and sort of really having to crack its knees to get its whole body over the jump. And so there's definitely some look that people are seeing in the hunter ring with some of these sort of over-conditioned, not quite grossly obese, but certainly overweight horses. In terms of overall performance and the incidence of sort of obesity and insulin resistance and insulin dysregulation, it's harder to really establish what is going on. Like I can look at a horse in a ring and I can say, wow, that animal is overweight, but I wouldn't necessarily know what its insulin concentrations were unless I actually went and studied that. And of course, most horse owners don't want their horse's blood taken. And I do see it being a problem potentially long-term for a horse owner, because the longer that that animal is carrying around extra weight and perhaps is dealing with some equine metabolic syndrome, they're going to be more likely to develop laminitis, probably more likely to develop arthritis, and not have the same kind of career that the horse might have had if they'd been kept on a sort of streamlined body, conditioned a little bit thinner. It's really hard to go and pinpoint that and say, your horse, his career was not what it could have been because he was overweight, and so he developed laminitis. There are so many, or at arthritis perhaps, there are so many other things that would come into play in terms of performance and longevity that it's really hard to specify obesity or insulin resistance or insulin dysregulation just because maybe the horse is jumping too much as part of their weekly work efforts. We don't really know.
Sure. I'm wondering, other than obesity, what other impacts can some of these issues like equine metabolic syndrome, like the insulin dysregulation, what other impacts could those things have on performance and career longevity? What are the sort of signs that people could look for if obesity, which is sort of the most obvious visual sign, if that isn't present, what are the other things that people should be looking for when it comes to their horse's performance and well-being?
Yeah, that's a great point. And I also want to say too that it's really difficult for horse owners to realize that their own horse is overweight. It usually takes somebody else saying it. And sometimes horse owners know it and might be at a loss of what they can do about it. So just recognizing obesity, asking professionals, ask your veterinarian who might be at your barn, does my horse look bigger this year? You can even do things like just doing measurements around the heart girth area, around the umbilicus, and take measurements and just kind of track those over time to make sure that they're not really gaining weight over time. But certainly outside of obesity, there are a couple things that, you know, horse owners can look for. And certainly one of those would be any kind of lameness that could be attributed to, you know, perhaps arthritis or overuse in dogs, which obviously don't necessarily have the same level of, we don't depend on them for competition quite so much, and they might not be worked as heavily as horses, although some certainly are. We know 100% that obesity is associated with arthritis in our canine population, even cats as well, to the point where those animals are told to put on a diet and it helps to alleviate the arthritis. And so, you know, if we are seeing a horse that is overweight and has some perhaps early arthritis issues, maybe one of the first things that you could do is start, before you start injecting and putting all the supplements into the horse, maybe you want to take some weight off of them. The other things that you could start to talk about if you are perhaps worried about your horse maybe being a little bit overweight would be just adding in some regular blood work. So when your horse is seen by the vet for your, you know, yearly, half yearly vaccinations, you could have them pull some extra blood to run an insulin panel or a metabolic panel, depending on what the vet might call it. But I think it's very important to know what your horse's sort of baseline insulin is. That can be a sign of this insulin dysregulation if it's really high. And there are some horses where with good dietary management, you can kind of keep it low. And if it does start to creep up, then that would be a sign that not only perhaps is your horse overweight, but also, you know, they're not doing a very good job with that insulin working properly. And so it might be another sort of more of a crude telling that your horse is overweight. You know, it might be one thing to have your veterinarian or your friend say that your horse is overweight, but if there is a blood test or some actual number that you can say that, okay, this isn't telling you if your horse is overweight, but we are telling you that there's a problem with it, then that would be another thing that horse owners can do.
Really, really interesting. And I was just thinking, as you were talking about, especially these sort of places where we tend to see the overweight horses, whether it's, you know, the sport ponies or maybe some of those heavier dressage breeds, like, would it be fair to say that this is a bit of a more modern disease or condition? Like, if, I don't know if anyone has done these studies, but if you went to like a wild horse herd that's living maybe a more natural life, I would assume insulin dysregulation would be pretty rare in that type of environment, right?
Not necessarily. And in fact, some of the earlier studies looking at equine metabolic syndrome was actually in a sort of semi-feral herd of ponies in Virginia that were essentially just managing grass. And so I don't think that's correct to say that it's a modern problem in terms of what we might be doing in terms of feeding or anything like that. It might be a modern problem because people have seen that an overweight pony might do better in competition. And if that becomes the look of the ideal pony, then that is what everybody is going to strive for. So I don't think it's a modern management in terms of, you know, we're feeding better quality forages, although maybe that's part of it too, in terms of obesity in our general population. I think in our sport horse population, it's because there has been successful horses that have had, that have been overweight, and people are seeing that as the ideal. So I think it comes down to breeds, judges, to start to think about what is the ideal. We might think about the snub-nosed dogs, our French bulldogs and things like that. There was really a trend for those noses to be smushier and smushier and flatter until veterinarians finally said, this is not good. They're going to have breathing problems. They're going to die. And so now people are sort of breeding them back to have the more proper nose conformation. And so I think that's something that needs to do within the horse industry as well, is recognize that there are too many risks associated with obesity and insulin dysregulation, that it's not worth it. It's not worth the first place prize over the second place prize to try to get your horses fatter, to try to get that ribbon. I think it's up to the industry to sort of reset what our animals should look like and what is ideal for our animals to look like and ideal for them to go around the ring and not necessarily be these sort of overweight slugs that are going around a course.
Interesting. And the other point that you raised, I thought was perhaps a good suggestion if people, if it's accessible to people, would be doing blood tests from time to time and looking at the blood glucose. I'm just curious to know, how stable is that value throughout a horse's lifespan? Like, would you expect it to be different in a young horse versus an elderly horse that's maybe reaching towards the end of their life? Or should it be a value that's pretty constant throughout?
So, you know, I'd have to look up values for regular values for young horses versus older horses. But, and certainly older horses might have other confounding factors like Cushing's disease and things like that, that might affect insulin. But insulin is a hormone that is only really, or should only be released into the bloodstream when a horse has had a carbohydrate meal like sugar and starch. And so most horses, if they're healthy, it should be almost undetectable, very, very low. And so when you do start to see it show up on blood tests, especially if you hadn't gone and fed the horse a whole lot of carbohydrates beforehand, it should be low throughout their whole lives. When you do start to see it increase, would either be because, and it would be normal to increase a little bit if you fed them some concentrates or if they had some pasture, but it really shouldn't get too high. And so there's some discussion with your veterinarian, what would be considered normal and then what would be considered abnormal. But if you do over the years start to see it creep up and up and up, then that might be a sign that you might want to take a closer look at their level of adiposity and think about some potential other things that you can do to help keep that under control.
Super, super interesting. So I think that when a lot of us here talk about obesity and insulin resistance or insulin sensitivity, we sort of jump to increasing exercise and obviously altering diet. Mm-hmm. Can you describe some of the research that exists on exercise and its impact on weight and insulin sensitivity?
Yeah. So there's some great studies that have been done, and I summarized some of those in that article. I think one of the challenges with all of our research studies is that sometimes it's difficult to really strictly say that a change is because of, especially when there's exercise involved, is the change due to the actual exercise or is it due to the decrease in body weight that we tend to see when horses exercise? So being able to separate those is a little bit different. Are difficult. And so in people, for example, they'll do things like bariatric surgery. And so, and then they might exercise them as well or have some different comparisons. But for doing our horse studies, it would be really difficult to do a study and have some horses just stay fat, because we don't want them to stay fat because that's unhealthy. But that would be sort of a good control to say that some of the exercise or some of the treatments were working. But so there have been numerous studies over the years. Deborah Powell did probably one of the first ones where she had horses that were overweight and they exercised on a exercise walker a few days a week. And it was relatively low intensity work, you know, it was mostly trotting around on the exerciser, but they did have some good results in terms of improving insulin resistance. And the part that I've, you know, that kind of is in the article too, is that there are kind of two things going on with obesity and with insulin resistance. So obesity can cause or can contribute to insulin resistance, but the obesity adipose tissue can also produce inflammatory proteins that are not going to be beneficial for the horse's health. And so when we exercise, not only are we getting the benefits of exercise, but we're also getting the weight loss. And so we're removing those potentially pro-inflammatory proteins as well. So with our exercise studies, we really do want to have both happening at the same time. I think it would be really difficult to have a study where, well, certainly we do have some studies sometimes where you might get changes of insulin resistance, but maybe not significant changes in body weight, or perhaps the flip of that. So it really comes down to a lot of the study designs. One of the ones that we did with one of my graduate students a few years ago was we tried to compare weight loss through exercise versus diet alone, because we realized that some horses, you know, if they do have laminitis, they might not be able to exercise. And so we designed it so that horses either exercised to essentially burn 20% of their calories, or we cut 20% of their calories from their diet. And so both groups of animals had their energy balance was off. And we saw weight loss in both of those groups, but we saw the better improvements in the insulin dynamics with our exercised horses. And so even though both are going to be really beneficial, weight loss, losing the weight is going to be helpful, but it's also the benefits of exercise that's also going to be doing a really important job as well.
Awesome. This has been absolutely fascinating. And I'm sure we could keep going for so much longer. It's such a cool field. And I think that it's hard to know how much attention it's getting, but my hope is that it continues to gain attention and gain recognition, because it is such a, I don't want to say it's an easy fix, but it's something that should in most cases be preventable.
I do think with obesity and because of its link with laminitis, it is getting a lot of attention with those regards. But I think as it pertains to performance, I don't think it's gotten the attention it needs. Hopefully it will, once people start to realize that their horses are just going to be potentially not being able to exercise for the potential, their full career that they could have had. And so I'm hoping we will see more research pertaining to the exercise and performance side of things too.
Definitely. And it's sort of a nice link to our closing question that we ask all of our guests, Shannon. And it's, if you could speak directly to a horse and the horse could understand you, what would you want to tell them?
Well, so if it was my own horse, my own horses, I've got my mare and my daughter has a pony. I hope they would know, I would tell them that I love them and that I will always do right by them. And I would hope that they would also be able to tell me when they're done, whether they're done competing, when they want to step down a level, when they want to retire, if they want to have babies. And then at the final stages, I hope they're able to show me that when they're ready, so I'm not too late with that decision at the end.
Perfect. No, that's a really nice statement. And I think it's a perfect way to wrap up this episode. So again, thank you so much, Shannon. We really appreciate you taking the time. For sure, learned a lot. And I hope it helps to raise a little bit of awareness through this podcast. And we hope to keep pushing this message.
Thanks. It was a lot of fun.
A great discussion, great insights from Shannon. She has some really good research. We'll post a few other papers that she has published in the show notes, but I'd encourage you to go and visit her webpage and just get a sense of the other things she's studying right now. But just a really important topic, a very timely topic. I think that more and more we're starting to see awareness being raised about issues related to animal welfare, whether it's, you know, training practices or how animals are judged or how they're presented and taken care of. I think obesity is something that unfortunately we do see quite a bit of, not just in sport, but obviously, you know, also in pastures and pets and so on. But it's something that I don't want to say it's an easy fix, but in a lot of times, like even, you know, a small improvement in a horse's body condition can have a significant impact on their quality of life through addressing, you know, weight issues and in turn addressing some of those insulin resistance issues or dysregulation issues. So just some really good feedback from her today. The paper that she wrote that we talked a little bit about throughout the episode has some really great guidance on some of the research that has been done on exercise protocols to get horses back to where they should be. So just something to think about, you know, go home and evaluate your own horse and just always have that in the back of your mind as you go through and manage your own horses.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do think it's worth hopefully starting to have conversations about what judging in some disciplines is promoting and whether that is the best for overall welfare and health of our equine partners. So with that thought, that's a wrap for today's episode. Once again, I want to thank Achieve Equine for their support. They are the manufacturers of Flair Equine Nasal Strips. So thank you guys so much. You can find the links to today's guest and her research in our show notes and on our website at www.sporthorsepodcast.com. While you're there, be sure you check out all the other exciting things that Ignite has going on and all of our great on-demand content. Check out our memberships. They're a great way to get access to a lot of content and figure out what's of interest to you. And here's to keeping your sport horse happy and healthy.